I'm gonna put it down here. Wes said I ought to get a Velcro thing and mount it here. So I don't fool with it. The word tonight is from Matthew 4, starting verse 18. And this is, you know how I like the name, that's just me. This is called Are We Contagious? Are We Contagious? Some of you, I'm guessing you probably are, but maybe not like you think. Matthew 4:18 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He just said to these two brothers, come and follow me. Now, my Bible says at once. What y'all say? At once?
Immediately.
They left their nets. Walking down the beach, this guy passes by. He doesn't say who he is, what he's doing. He just says, come, follow me. They dropped their nets, and they took off following Jesus. So now you got three guys. They're walking. They come up to two other brothers. He speaks to them, and they leave their father and their fishing, and they go follow Jesus. Now, let me tell you what the TIV did, the Tim International Version. For my life, I passed Jesus at the beach. He says, come follow me. Instead of leaving my nets, I cling to my mess for a long time. And I didn't follow. But eventually, that's a good thing. That's the beautiful thing about the feet of Jesus. They keep passing by, don't they? Keep saying, come follow me. Come follow me. And eventually, I came and followed him. But I still didn't immediately leave him. Leave my mess, and not my nets, but my mess, and go follow him. What did these brothers see in a guy walking down the beach to have that kind of reaction, you think? Let me tell you this. Do I believe that they sat and talked to themselves about leaving? No. This is my Bible, and I believe every word of it. I believe they immediately left.
They'd already heard him preach, and so they knew who he was. They knew what he stood for, and they'd already heard him, and they already knew. God had already touched their hearts, I think, and so I think it was an overwhelming thing when he spoke to them.
I think Jesus was a huge figure in Galilee, everywhere. Just think of who he is. They knew who he was. They may not have been friends with him. But they knew.
Understand, this is on the Advent. This ain't 3 years into Jesus' ministry.
But he grew up there, and they knew who he was. I think Jesus was the kind of figure that, if you know a little bit about him, yeah, he said, come on, you go. I believe he was infectious. I really do.
Well, without a doubt. But they're still guys. They're still us. Jesus is offered to people every day here. And I don't see everybody that's been offered Jesus here tonight.
Well, if Satan came by and said, follow me, drop everything you got, would you go with him?
No.
No. God, there's not a person in the world I'd do that with.
Jesus has been on. So they had to see something in Jesus that was lacking in their life. There's a realization that this man carries with him what I don't have, what I need.
I'm thinking too that when the temple guards later went to arrest Jesus and the Pharisees told them to go arrest Jesus, they came back empty-handed and they said, we've never heard anybody talk like this man because he speaks as one who has authority. And I think Jesus, as much as we in this room, man, we do the very best we can, I believe, to try to muster our faith. But no one in this room has actually seen Jesus yet that we know him, But Jesus, I believe, because he came from the Father, and he walked with an authority. It wasn't, it's kind of like
He drew men unto himself.
You know, like Zach just told a story. He had the authority to tell the story of the girl that died. Because he was there. And I believed him. The way he spoke wasn't third person. It was, hey man, this happened. I saw the blood. I set this girl down right here, this and that. Versus somebody who read about it in the newspaper and said, man, you should have heard about this story. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference if you have authority because you've been there. I think Jesus walked in that authority. What I shared Sunday, he had an eternal perspective. He saw things through God's eyes. And I think that attracted people.
Amen.
Because he'd been there and bought the t-shirt, man. He was it.
Well, why don't
But there had to be something different in them. There was something in them that was totally wrong because he didn't say, come and let me show you, let me give you all this great stuff.
No, there was no problem.
It wasn't about salvation. It wasn't all about them. He said, this is all about me. Come follow me. He never mentioned what they were going to. You know, I'm sure if it was me, what am I going to get here? It's all about
yeah. How far?
I think the Holy Spirit was a lot of.
Well, I mean, we'd had questions. How far am I going to have to follow you?
Where are we going? What am I going to have to give up?
Yeah.
What about my family? You know.
Yeah.
What about my job?
What about all this?
Now the wife's following, but it's amazing to me. You know, they did drop their nets. It's even more amazing that after a month and they don't have an income, they're still with
you. Yeah.
After 3 years of doing that. They're still with you.
Well, scripture says also, unless my Father draws someone, they cannot come. So I think the Holy Spirit has been working on it.
Amen.
I'm telling. I mean, I'm thinking about this guy right now in Singapore who listened to a podcast of SOT last week. Some Asian guy. You can't tell me the Holy Spirit's not working on him from 100 different directions. And all of a sudden, something comes across his radar, and he was surfing the web or whatever, and then he says, what is this? You can't tell the Holy Spirit's not all that.
I see it.
You know?
But let me throw this out at you. From the place that we fish from, did Jesus guilt trip him? Did he say, you've got to come, four Sundays to get into heaven. You got to come to SOT on Wednesday.
Or I haven't seen you at the synagogue lately.
Yeah. Hey, bro, where you been? I say that all the time. Hey, man. Now, but see, the motive wasn't to get them in with guilt.
Or is it like Michael just said, can they see you as being there in first person just like you just said?
Well, I think they saw that Jesus was going somewhere. They saw that he carried the key to their life with them. So were they going to let him pass by? But Jesus never said, and I mean, when I read this, and it starts about immediately. I mean, you read that and go immediately, at once. You're like, man, did that really happen like that? Well, I believe my Bible, every word of it. That's hard for me to get behind that. If I'm out at the mall with my family, we're at Taco Casa sitting there at the food court, guy walks by, I mean, it's Jesus. He says, come on, follow me. I throw my burrito down and I go follow Jesus. Is that what, I mean, does it happen that way?
Are we even looking for the Father's return? Would you even know him if you came to be shown?
Well, that's it. Well, see, now understand now the difference is Holy Spirit was poured out individually then. But now, that Holy Spirit that drew those men is poured out for all now.
Well, Tim, contrast it with the rich young man that came to Jesus and said, you know, I've followed all the laws and everything that I'm supposed to do. What else should I do? And he said, give away everything you have and follow me now. And he was, you know, grieved and went away sad. You know, it was a big difference. You know, these guys, they're fishermen. You know, they didn't have a lot to lose and everything to gain. And I think they recognized, you know, I think we'd all recognize Jesus. I mean, it really did.
Well, 1 John, they referred to him as the Lamb of God. So they knew who he was. They had heard him. But still, there was a lot of people that didn't make that decision, just like it would be hard to make that decision.
Well, see, now, they were, you know, there were disciples of John the Baptist. That because John the Baptist had been preaching about the Lamb of God coming, that they were recognizing him. But you know what? God chose to promote them to being the disciple of Jesus. So they had to up their game, you know, to walk with the Lord. Now,
and he was constantly trying to. Sorry,
no, go ahead. No.
He was constantly trying to, you know, but I see him up in the ante of the things that mattered most. But he made sure. I mean, it's like when those people started following those thousands, and then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, you guys are following me because I fed you yesterday. But I tell you what, if you're really hungry, I tell you what, why don't you drink my blood right now?" And eat my flesh. And then the thousands start leaving. Because they're like, man, I can't. You know, that would be like me saying, hey guys, you know, why don't you just suck on my blood for a little bit, right? And he's saying something crazy. And I'll be like, man, that guy's lost it. So they start leaving. And it's just the disciples, and they're sitting there, you know, watching everybody. And then he turns to them and said, what about y'all? You gonna go too? He didn't woo them to stay.
No, he
said, what about you? You gonna stay? Because hey man, they're going too if you want to. And they said,
he didn't offer the best program.
Amen.
He didn't offer the biggest building. He didn't offer. He said, look, dude, you're going to wear them sandals out if you're going to walk with me.
And you let them know up front.
Yeah. Guess what? Now, the good part about it is you'll probably all be killed and martyred for your faith. That's a good part. But now here's, look, we'll go. What I want to focus on is what did the disciples catch after being close to Jesus for 3 years? Was he contagious? Oh, absolutely. Did all of them catch it?
No.
Judas did. But now, what about Peter? Did he catch it?
You know what, Tim? I'm thinking about Judas. Here's the theory. I think one part of the reason, some people say, well, Judas did what he did because he did believe Jesus was the one, but he was trying to make it happen. He was trying to trump Jesus' hand, speed up his hand, to get Jesus to show his power to Romans. Because some people say Jesus thought he was the one, but he wanted it to happen. Jesus wanted to make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe Jesus thought it was going to happen, but he was trying to make it happen himself instead of letting God do it.
That's the worldly.
Well, but we don't know that. But now, but
right,
folks,
that's conjecture.
Yeah, that's conjecture. But focus on what we do know is we do know that people fell into the shadow of Peter walking down the street and were healed. That Peter preached at Pentecost and 3,000 were saved, and it says tongues of fire and flame and the Spirit of God was manifest that day because Peter caught it.
But you know what also relates to us is it was still hard because he was still doubted.
Yeah.
And Thomas still had to see his hands. You know what I mean? He still doubted. Until he ascended to heaven, at that point they were all willing to die. You know what I mean? All of them were willing to do whatever. So I think they did. God did put that on them, and I think we do have a calling, but it's not going to be easy.
Oh, absolutely not.
It was still hard for them.
Well, you know, and Peter is like at the crusade. You know, where the Holy Spirit's on the place. He's Joe Kynes. He's preaching a great word, message, and men come to the altar. Now, that's powerful because he'd been with Jesus. That's what Peter did, and Peter was the rock for the church. But let's go back in the Old Testament. I mean, is that consistent with Scripture, what happened? Absolutely it is. Nehemiah. Let's look at Nehemiah. It, just for a basis for us as men of God, what Nehemiah did. What was Nehemiah's job?
He wanted to get back
and build a wall. No. He wasn't an engineer. He wasn't Bruce. He wasn't an engineer. He wasn't a builder. Cup holder. Hey, boss, you thirsty? Gotcha. Oh, get some ice. That's his job. I mean, whatever you want to say about his job, he had one, good for him, but that was it.
It was an honest job.
Yeah, it was an honest job. So, God gets on Monster and sees that Nehemiah's posted for cup holding job.
Well, it was dangerous, too, because he had to drink it to make sure nobody was trying to poison the king.
Yeah, but it didn't qualify him to be a wall restorer, But God goes on and sees, I see you've updated your resume here, Nehemiah, and looks like you've done a lot of cup holding. Styrofoam, plastic, mugs even. Maybe some big stuff here, some igloo stuff. But tell you what I want you to do, Nehemiah. I want you to go rebuild the walls and the gates. Restore those. And Nehemiah's thinking, me? I'm a cup holder to the king. But because God told him, he was faithful. That's why God told him. He could have gone to somebody who was more adequately suited to do the job, but then who gets the glory? Sort of like using us. Who gets the glory? If we go about and be godly men, even though you weren't for the majority of your life. God gets the glory because that happens. So Nehemiah goes, and he addresses the king and says, hey, man, I want to take some time off. And maybe while I'm at it, I want to, kind of use all your supplies to do this. What about that? Would you write me a note give me safe passage in Matthew. Why are you writing it out? Would you put on there, I can get all the timber from your forest? Maybe something like that. I don't know. It's still just Nehemiah. I mean, it's not like a big following. And these text messages and all this dude said, got the timber. You know, none of that going on. It's just Nehemiah. So Nehemiah goes, and this is what's powerful to me, is how did Nehemiah accomplish the task God put in front of him to rebuild the walls in the city? He became contagious. He became contagious for God. Because he got out there and he got in front of them. He started assembling the walls and the gates. He didn't go to them and guilt them. We've got to get this done, guys. We've got to get the walls and the gates back up. First, you've got to realize what happened to the walls and the gates. What's the purpose of... What's the purpose? Why would God want to... A broken down city. Why would God want to put the walls and the gates back up? What do walls and gates do?
Keep people out.
What's a gate do? Lets things in. Lets things out. Walls keep things out. Why would God think that's important? Why would walls and gates be important in a city? Because they've been overrun with things that weren't of God. And it had destroyed the city. You know, we're temples. Our body's a temple. Our house is a city unto God. We're supposed to be a city on a hill. We've talked about this before. How's your walls and your gates? Are they down? They disrepair? Just everything comes in. Everything goes out. You know. Well, God may be calling you to be a Nehemiah. In spite of you thinking you are one. But Nehemiah, what was awesome about it, did he get out there and start fussing at me? Ah, we're never going to get these out. Nobody's going to ever. No, he got busy. He got busy on his own section. He said, this is my section, and I'm going to get busy on it. And when people saw what Nehemiah was doing with what God had given him, they got about their business.
Lead from the front.
The lead from the front. He didn't guilt them into, we're never going to get this done. Look at your walls and gates. Everything's, you know, terrible. He led from the front, going forward to God and going forward into restoring his kingdom. Cup holder with a free pass. With the influence. He's wearing a signet ring of the king. Not the one he just came from the Almighty King, to do business for the king. And people recognized that. His spirit was contagious on Nehemiah. And so he was busy doing the business of the king. And people started, it says that all these gates got put back up. You know, in Nehemiah it says, man, that all these people, the exiles returned. And as we read this, man, it's really, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there was opposition to the rebuilding. Did it come from the enemies? Or did it come from his peer group? It came from people who were supposed to be with him. Why did they want him to rebuild the walls and the gates? Who would be against rebuilding walls and gates? Who would be against the walls and the gates being rebuilt in your life? But it also points out that their walls and gates aren't rebuilt.
Tim, I think that too, man. I think you're on to something too about not guilting people into coming to church or not coming to church in SOT or whatever. What about changing it around and saying, hey buddy, I missed you, and mean that genuinely and say, how can I pray for you? You know, in other words, lead from the front and say, let me show you Christ in me. You know, instead of say, hey buddy, what's God telling you lately? Or how can I pray for you? And then get into them, and I guarantee they're gonna want to come 10 times more than guilting for the wrong reason.
Well, you know, the thing is if, you know, we're called to be leaders. We're called to be spiritual leaders in our home. We're called to be spiritual leaders in our community, in our workplace. If you turn around and ain't nobody following, guess what you're not? You're not going anywhere. You're not contagious. You're not about the building of the kingdom, and that's why nobody's following you. But that doesn't mean the game's over. It means if you work on you and people can see victory in your life, You know, Satan wants to say, you don't want to announce that victory. That sin's too grievous. What you want to do is just kind of have a victory by yourself, and then we'll get back into that sin later. You know, and we'll keep that sin around. That's like pornography. You know, that's why we're going to put those filters on those computers as a group, is because Satan wants to keep pulling on you with that. He wants to keep getting you there and saying you can't ever overcome this. You can be about as good a Christian as you'll ever be. You'll never be a Nehemiah, a wall builder, and a gate hanger. But we're called to be gate hangers and wall builders on. Are we supposed to get overwhelmed at the enormity of the task of building walls and gates back up? Did Nehemiah? Man, it looked like what he did is just went individually. I don't see where he had a gigantic rally and threw out a call to arms that we're going to put. It was contagious. People were talking about Nehemiah's putting the gates back up. So supplies started coming in. And people started getting about what Nehemiah was doing. They're watching what he's doing. So they start doing it in front of their house. And then their house took care of their house. And the next house took care of its house. And neighbors were taking care of each other because they were all about the business of the Lord of restoring the gates and walls. And guys, there's what happens when you got a breach in your wall? Enemy's coming in there. He's not coming through the gate. He's coming through the breach. Because why? You're not expecting it there. Question is, where do we have breaches? Where do we have breaches in our life? Everybody knows where yours are. I mean, you know where yours are. It may not be obvious to me looking at you, and mine may not be obvious, but we all know we got breaches. Even the best among us, like that video says, have got breaches. And that's where the enemy slips through. And he'll get you over there to yourself, and he'll say, you can't ever do that. Just leave that part down. Don't even work on this here, because you'll never get it rebuilt. Well, what happens is, if you got a piece that's too big for you to handle, guess what? Your neighbor's over there working too. Pull your brother in on them. Let's get some brothers to hang some gates and build some walls with us. That's what happened with Nehemiah. It was contagious. Nehemiah started by himself. He put the cup down. Time for cuppish things were over. God called him to a giant task of being a builder. Now, my Bible reads that after, you know, his friends, or they weren't really his friends, they never were his friends, they were just his associates that kept planning and plotting and scheming to where these walls and gates would never come up. Because they knew Nehemiah would be elevated in God's eyes. They knew that God would enlarge his territory. They knew that it would be. And they'd rather everybody stay in there. What misery loves what? Coming. Amen. Misery loves coming. So if you're in a crowd of people that they're not about kicking the gates of hell down and advancing the kingdom, you need to find your new group. You need brothers that want to be about helping you put your walls up, putting their walls up. Accountability is great. You know, we talk about accountability here. You know, accountability is great until it's about you. Man, I'm more than willing to go to somebody else's house, ring their doorbell, go in their house and fuss on them for what they've been doing. But when accountability really works is when the phone rings and you have to answer. And they say, man, I need to talk to you about something. You know.
And unfortunately, we've had a lot of people that have disappeared after that
conversation. Yeah.
Because it was all good until.
Well, and it may have been
it's hard to accept, but I mean, when you're willing to be a part of accountability, you got to be willing to listen to when you're wrong. You know what I mean?
But the important thing is if somebody's going to come talk, if you're going to go talk to somebody, you better be Nehemiah. You better be doing it at your house too. You better have the contagious spirit of God on you before you go start picking a speck out of a brother's eye when you got logs hanging out of yours. That's the difference. I mean, you would welcome in a brother who is contagiously building something for the kingdom of God to come and offer to help you. But what we can't, where our pride steps in and gets in the way is when we're not really doing anything either. But we'd rather look at them and say, brother, you just ain't getting it done. You know,
You need grace. You don't have to be perfect to call somebody out. Because
No.
It'd be like if I was building a set of sawhorses and Jeremy, because he can be a smart aleck if he wants to be. Him, I'm like, you going to leave it like that? You know, or he could either do that and say, or just say, that's screwed up. That ain't the right way to do it. Or he can say, man, look here. Grab your square and turn it around and grab my hand and he say, no, that's how you do it. So there's two different ways to come about it. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you're like, I don't know, this is the way I do it. You know, I'm not perfect. This is the way I do it, but this is how I do it. And you help a brother out. You know what I mean? Or you just come up and say, tell me what I'm doing wrong and then roll out.
Well,
so you can do it two different ways.
It's the same way Jesus approached the disciples, the same way Nehemiah did. Like, we're supposed to plow forward. Now, if your plow's hung on some big rocks and you can't get it to go and you're sitting there fussing, well, a godly man come up there and just start grabbing rocks and moving them. All right? And it'll break free in a minute. As opposed to, what? You got in this again? My gosh, how many times has this been you stuck his tractor? You know? As opposed to, let's just hook his thing up. You've seen me stick one.
Lunchbox, he wouldn't get mad at anybody saying that to him.
No.
I'm just laughing that he used that analogy of sticking a tractor.
Yeah, because I got one stuck right now.
And everybody looked crazy when I walked up because it was my truck that pulled it out.
Yeah, but you wasn't even there.
And you wasn't even there.
I had no part in that.
But well, what you're saying is you approach them out of love, and that's the thing. But what you're saying is don't be looking for other people's problems.
Well, what I'm saying is we've all got breaches.
Right.
It's a lot easier for somebody to come up in love and say, man, I got breaches in my life too.
Right. That's,
and I'm here. I'm here because the love of Jesus Christ has got me here to help you. If you'd like me to, I'd love to help you. But I'm gonna love you anyway, and I'm not gonna say out of guilt you should do anything. But out of the overwhelming, contagious spirit of Jesus Christ, we're going forward and advance the kingdom. Amen. But now we all got breaches. All of us, even the best among us, got breaches. Is your breach in your computer? Is it in your anger? Is it in your finances? Is it in your idol worship? Now, none of us would worship idols in here, would we? I don't know. I've seen a lot of guys, me included, elevate our children to idol worship. We worship our children. Our children have gotten into a point where we don't really tell them no. I'm telling you, and I stand there and tell you I'm accountable as well. Because we don't tell them no. We hadn't taught them that no's an option. And we hadn't told them, not that you just say no for everything, but we end up worshiping them. And we do this in word and deed. In word and deed. You know, who is the focus in our home? Where does our energy come down to? Is it Jesus? You know, is it that's because in our home, our children, is it our wife? Is it us? Is it the man in the mirror looking good with that gel in the hair? Pretty it up. Is that who it is? Is it the money that we make? What is it? Because we got breaches, all of us. And what that breach is, what happens with that breach that we think is just our breach and we can control it? Every time, here comes the old enemy. Here comes Satan. He slips through it. And he will get in there. And he will keep coming in there until we plug it up. Until we plug that breach up, he's going to keep coming in. Is it your anger? I mean, do you throw a royal fit every time something doesn't go your way? And you go nuts and people, it affects your witness? And that's hard to get back is when you go completely bananas. And you cuss and fuss and get drunk and go crazy. And then people that were following you are no longer following you anymore. Starting with people in your house. You know. Nehemiah was busy glorifying God with the contagious spirit God had given him. And he didn't, best I can tell, he just got busy doing God's business and people joined him in it. And that's what we should do is get busy glorifying God and people will join us in it. Amen? This room won't be big enough to hold them.
Tim, you know, you're I think yesterday, but you do it. You don't care if nobody else is doing it with you. is unto the Lord. If it's clean the toilets, and three of your brothers are there going to have to clean toilets, no one else shows up, guess what? That's three more toilets you get to worship the Lord and clean right there.
Amen.
And you don't care. Your focus is not on who's on your right or your left. That's why, like you said, those guys who built that wall by building a portion in front of their house. That was focus. And if everybody took care of that, if God told them to, the whole thing would be done. It's like the church, it's like everything else.
Satan's plan has always been for us to look to our left and right and make sure everybody's going along the same pace we are. And then he says, well, I think I can make a better root grow here. Well, better root don't just start. It may start as a root, but it'll be a redwood if you keep watering it. But, you know, it's very important to notice now. It was not the enemy. It wasn't a Malachite. It wasn't a Hedgemites. It wasn't a Graham Crackerites. It wasn't all these people that were opposed Israel that were the enemies of the rebuilding and restoration of the walls of Israel. This is key. It was Nehemiah's peers. And you have to understand why they did not want the wall rebuilt. Because it would glorify God. And the labor that went into it would glorify God. And they were doing nothing to glorify God. So, when you are surrounded by, you know, a peer group that does nothing to glorify God and doesn't want you to, there's your breach right there. It's been identified. There is your breach. When you don't have people encouraging you to keep stepping, to kick the gates of hell down, let's get some people out of there, then you need to get there, that you've identified one of your breaches. You know.
Tim, you know what I, just two cents, but a side note, but you know what I think Satan's greatest tool is right now?
Telephone.
That thing right there. You look at every teenager walking around, and what is their idol? Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Do they speak? Do they talk? No. But by golly, they're not moving without that thing.
Yeah.
Not just teenagers.
Yeah.
And correct. So, I just think that's it.
I agree with that. When you're talking about
without it, I would hope so.
Amen.
When you're talking about the why can't we just say yes to Jesus? I think back in those days, I hear more in the scripture about wisdom, and then now what we focus on is how much we know, how smart we are. What degrees we have, it's just a constant battle on who's the smartest and all this kind of stuff. And what we do is we end up getting so smart in our own minds and our own pride is we reason everything, you know, reason if everything's okay. And, you know, if we're not watching TV and whether it's soap operas that a woman's trying to figure out how to have a relationship from, or somebody just watching something so they can say they know a little bit more about this. You know, a guy at work today, hey, here's something that would interest you, Matt. I said, what is that? The books that were left from the Bible. I turned my face, and I thought, you know, maybe he's got a different point. And I just kept working, and I was thinking, I said, how's that? And he said, I'm reading a book about this. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I think that it's better to be wise than it is to be smart. You know, and I just happened to be reading in Ecclesiastes this morning. And I said, I think it's better to be wise than it is smart. And so I don't mind talking with you. I mean, if that's what you want to read, then that's up to you. But I think it would be, if it was me, I'd probably just quit reading the book as soon as they said something was left out of the Bible. Because that would imply that God's made a mistake and my God hadn't made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And all these other guys are just listening and Amen. Not want to get in on it. And so I think that that's what we normally do, though. I want to learn everything about that. Everything about it. I want to know. Until we just reason everything. When Jesus walks up and says, hey, man, why don't y'all come over here? And we're like, that don't line up with everything I've read.
Yeah.
That don't line up with what I saw on TV or what I heard on in a text the other day. It's just constant information, and we miss the important information.
Well, you know what's funny is this guy raised $70 million for the end of the world. This old dude said it was ending about 2 weeks ago. Y'all remember?
Yeah.
It didn't happen. This evangelical Christian said it was gone. No, he isn't. He's a nutcase. Because if you read your word, your word tells you that only the Father knows when the end times will be. And he hadn't even told Jesus. It says that the Son doesn't even know. And then it follows in that whole thing, said the Son will come like a thief in the night when it happens. Well, man, if he ain't told Jesus, he ain't told this dude. I can tell you that. This old dude out there raising, and why is he need, why do you need his money? I mean, that's a fool and his money assumed party. That ain't even in the Word. That's in Tim, the Book of Tim.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like in like Acts, is it Acts 3 when it says that, you know, that they can tell that Peter, you know, was a man of God, but because he had been with Jesus. He was uneducated, but he was an uneducated man, but he'd been with Jesus. And like, you know, in John 17:3, I think it's like, you know, that knowing God is eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God.
And amen.
So, like, we know God by the Word. And so if we're not in the Word and we're, you know, more focused on the world around us and, you know, how, I don't know, just gaining knowledge, you know, then we're...
Well, the world's going to tell us that Jesus is in the Da Vinci Code and he was married to this cat, this lady named Mary, and they got some kids, and it's all in... Tom Hanks knows about it. Tom Hanks is going to kick hell. He's going to be thrown in hell.
Well, I think there's a reason why God didn't want us to eat from the tree of the knowledge. He wants to keep it simple, guys. Hey, childlike faith. I'm daddy. Trust me if I say it. Trust me. Don't go trying to figure out all this stuff.
It's all in the book, but we'd rather see the movie, truthfully, in our life. God tells us to read the book and never quit reading. It'll keep speaking to you every day. You see, I saw that miniseries, wasn't that on the Passion? I watched that Passion of Christ. That's good. I mean, ooh, when they beat him, boy, it's good. Had me all, I got chill bumps. And, you know, is that contagious?
Tim, it's kind of like say when your wife keeps asking you why you're mad, and you're not mad, but it ends up making you mad because she's overanalyzing everything. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at. I mean, that's what I feel like most.
Yeah, Billy.
I tell her this all the time. I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what God feels with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and also, guess what? When we ask for His forgiveness, guess what? He forgives us. His mercy and grace renew every morning. And so we come the next day and go, God, please forgive me again. And He said, what are you talking about? I don't even really know. I don't even know what you're talking about, bro. I just love you.
Get over it.
Get over it.
It's because you haven't given it up.
That's right.
He's given it up.
And see, that's where brothers come in. Going, man, set that down, dude. You keep dragging that thing around here. That Teletubby blanket. Man, you're 40 years old. Drop that thing. You know? But here's the thing is, it's important for us to identify in our own life where we have breaches. Where do we have breaches? And where can I be about building God's kingdom in my breaches? And my spirit becomes contagious. Not through guilt, not through... Man, we ain't seen you. No, let me tell you what. The opposite's true. If they see you building God's kingdom, you won't be able to keep them out from where you want them to be. Amen? Because Spirit of God's contagious. Moses, he went and talked with God face to face, came back glowing. Nobody had to know. He didn't have to announce, hey, I've been with God. He said, they backed up. He's been with God. And guess what? We haven't. So we're going to get some distance in between you and us. Same thing with Nehemiah's peer group. You've been with God. We haven't. Let's get some distance. Understand? You get on fire for Jesus Christ and you start making advances into the kingdom, and people are going to want to make distance with you. Be encouraged by it. Jesus didn't come and say, I come to be a peacemaker. I come to gather all you guys up together and make you feel real good about yourself. He said, guess what I am? He said, I don't come to bring peace. He said, I don't come to bring peace, but what?
Division.
Division. How does it divide? How is Jesus divisive? Because the truth divides. The truth of God. You walk, same thing here. You walking along in the truth, and guess what? You're going to hit something in a minute. It's going to be a breach. And either we're going to have to plug that breach, or we're going to have to acknowledge we got a breach there. But we can't just not say, as the enemy comes through every night and every day attacking us, we can't say, wonder how he got here again. Came through that hole in your life. When you going to fill it? That's what a brother does, is, can I help you fill it? Can I help you feel it? Not when you're going to feel it. That's the difference. That's a brother right there. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's circle the wagons.